Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working.
Country music lost a legend today. Merle Haggard passed away at the age of 79. The poet of the common man and a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Haggard helped forge the famous Bakersfield sound in the 1960s with songs like Mama Tried, Swingin' Doors, and The Bottle Let Me Down, and of course, the Working Man Blues. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for the 6th day of April. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's out of Morton, Illinois. The guys at the Anderson's Climbers facility out of Logansport, Indiana, that's their ethanol production plant, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast, too, on a rainy and gray day here in East Central Illinois with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
I drank a little beer in a tavern, cry a little bit of these working man blues. Here comes that working man.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago. Futures in the May contract for the corn at 358, a penny and a quarter higher. July at 360 and three quarters, higher. And December corn, 371 and a half, up a half. May beans, 908, up three and a quarter. July at 916, three and a quarter higher. And November beans, 922 and a quarter, up two and three quarters. Bean meal at 267.90, down 80 cents. Bean oil, 27 cents higher at 34.26. May wheat futures at 463, 11 lower. July down 11 as well at 469 and three quarters. And the harvest month for the hard red, July at 472 and a quarter, down 12 and three quarters of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago at 131.75, a dollar seven and a half higher. April feeders at 152.47 and a half, 15 cents lower. In April lean hogs today, $67.47 and a half cents per 100 pounds, up 10 cents. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Now here's what some of the rest of the numbers look like. In the outside markets, energy's trading crude oil today at $37.66. That's up $1.77. Ethanol futures at $1.50 and three quarters. That's up 2 6/10 of a cent. And the gasoline on the wholesale price at $1.39 and 2 cents is a penny and 4 cents of a cent higher for the day. Natural gas at $1.90 even, down 5 4/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,571, up 45 points. U.S. dollar at 94.43. That's down 2.20, and the gold futures on the day at $1,222.80, down $5.60. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Occasional showers, some thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 55 degrees. It'll be breezy out there with a west wind at 18 to 21, gusting to 32, chance of rainfall in the area 90%, a chance of rain before 1 a.m. this evening as well, then a slight chance of showers after 1, cloudy, a low of 39 tonight. It'll be cool. West-northwest winds at 15 to 17. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy. A high of 51. Thursday night, a rainfall after 1 a.m. and then cloudy. Some more showers. Mostly cloudy and a low of 34. North winds on Thursday night at 30%. At 9 miles an hour and a 30% chance of rainfall. And then Friday, a chance of rain. Some snow before 1 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy. A high of 47. Saturday, sunny and 43. And Sunday, a chance of showers. Partly sunny and 54 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For 100 years, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Chip Nellinger. He's at Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, but traveling today under gray skies and rainy conditions. You're where? Just south of Chicago, I take it?
I am just left downtown Chicago about 20 minutes ago on Interstate 55, and it is a little chilly and pretty dreary with the steady rain falling. So,
all right, well, you'll be careful out there while we're running along. So let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in the marketplace since the USDA Perspective plantings report was released. I think many have been surprised at the strength in the corn, that the losses were quickly consolidated and have managed to maintain at least a lower level at this point. Are you among that group?
Yeah, a little bit surprised. I think some of it comes down to even though the losses in corn maybe weren't as great as you would have expected, beans have still gained on corn, and it's starting to do the job. We're fielding some phone calls this week, even on some good ground in Illinois, producers saying, I'm gonna switch back from corn to beans. Not huge amounts of acreage, but you know, that's a part of the function of the market now after this report, and I think it's starting to do its job. And also on the break, we've become a little more competitive in the world market, and we've seen a nice little uptick in some fresh U.S. sales, mostly to our, Korea, Taiwan type destinations. But that's good to see as well, that we're competitive again in the world market.
And then if we look overseas, and you only hear whispers about this, however, they are suffering some dry conditions in Brazil for the second crop, safrinha corn. Have you been hearing much about that? And are we concerned that that will come on early and create a problem for a crop that was planted late?
Well, you know, that is always in question there. They're fighting some heavy rains, too, on some of the tail end of their bean harvest. There's some dry conditions. There's also, still this underwriting concern about La Nina developing and what that's going to mean. So I think for several more months, the extremes in world weather that we're seeing are going to continue. And the question is it going to, be exaggerated or something that we face here during our growing season? So that's always, I think, for the next few months going to be an underlying theme is, you know, are these extreme weather conditions in different parts of the world going to turn around and affect our grain markets in any way?
What are you telling producers about old crop corn and soybean sales? The bin doors are probably closed. Should they make any and open them up before they get the planters really rolling?
Well, we've been saying that for a couple, two, 3 weeks here on the beans. Corn now, it's a waiting game. You almost have to wait now. On corn, the only issue is, do you have enough time to wait it out? So, you know, it becomes a race against the calendar and cash flow considerations on that old crop corn. But on the beans, you got to look at it as a little bit of an opportunity here. We're off the highs a little bit, but still have had a nice move, 70 cents off the lows from, you know, a month and a half ago in beans.
You'd be inclined, if you had cash soybeans, to go ahead and make some sales then, I take it?
Absolutely. Yeah, no problems with that. The unfortunate part is, from a general perspective, there's way more old crop corn in price than beans. There's a few beans hanging around, but by and large, producers aren't holding many old crop beans at this point. Unfortunately, though, there's still a tremendous amount of old crop corn left unpriced. That could be something that is definitely going to hang over us. It's hanged over us for several months, or hung over us for several months on corn. Will continue to do so, and any rallies that we do see in corn, I think, will be met with plenty of selling pressure from an old crop farmer perspective.
Next week, the United States Department of Agriculture will release its monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Report. I believe that's due out on Tuesday the 12th. Any preconceptions about any changes that might be shown? April's usually not much of a month for changes.
Yeah, shouldn't be much of a big change in any direction. We're not focused on new crop yet. That doesn't come out till May, I believe. So next month will be our first new crop projections. You know, I guess the surprise may be that they tweak corn demand up just a shade. You know, I think that from an ethanol perspective, we're seeing a nice, steady, large weekly grind on ethanol. And I think the feed usage side has grown. I don't know if we've got enough data yet to support the USDA increasing that, but shouldn't be much of a big factor. I think the surprise would be if they have to bump up that corn demand just slightly.
And those numbers will also take a stab at what other crops look like around the world. Informa put out its South American production estimates for the day. It says the bean crop there now is 100.5 million metric tons. It was 101.3, according to Informa in its previous estimate. So they dropped that back just a bit. I think it's at 102, if I remember correctly, from USDA. Argentine bean crop at 59.5 from Informa. The previous estimate was 500,000 metric tons lower than that at 59 even. Those numbers, especially the change in the Brazilian bean crop down about 1 million metric tons, surprise you at all?
Well, a little bit. You know, I think maybe they came in or had been on the high side all along. USDA's been stuck on 100 million metric tons really from the beginning. They haven't moved off that estimate. So, you know, they had some extreme weather, like you mentioned, some dry areas early. They're struggling with too wet conditions right now, and they're probably suffering some field loss in some of those later harvested beans. So, yeah, I don't know that if it's enough data for the USDA to come down, but that could be something that could give some underlying support to beans as well if the USDA were to drop south of their 100 million metric ton estimate. That's definitely something to watch, probably more so than the domestic side of the equation here on this report next week.
In Chicago today, futures in both the soft red and the hard red were down more than 10 cents. Why was that the case?
Well, we saw a little bit better chance of some rainfall in the plains. Oklahoma and Kansas have been extremely dry. There is a small chance of some rain, better chance than we've seen, although it's not anything that's huge coverage. Anytime that you see that, any chance of rain in the forecast in a weather scenario like we're in wheat, it leads to some profit taking and some liquidation. We'll see if it pans out, though. If it doesn't, if that rain disappoints or they take the rain back out of the forecast, we'll be right back up to the top end of this range in a hurry. So I think it was mostly moisture and precip related for Kansas in particular.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Safe travels back to Morton.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, and he is out of Morton, Illinois, traveling just south of Chicago on Interstate 55 today. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the sixth day of April. Do visit our website, ILL. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, a link to the USDA reports. We post them up there in what we hope is an easy-to-consume kind of manner. So if you don't know what those report numbers look like, you can find them right there at WILLAG.org. And, of course, daily news and information. And it's all part of the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, La Nina appears to be arriving sooner than expected. Reuters weather expert Karen Braun says the cold phase of tropical Pacific Ocean surface temperatures is occurring more rapidly than originally thought. New data indicates the development of La Nina is already underway. Organizers of a government forecast model announced the model had accumulated an error and that was skewing results for global sea surface temperatures. Correction of the error has led to the prediction that La Nina will fully develop by July. That compared to the previous forecast that was calling for El Nino to continue through the summer months. Well, as expected, farmers are tightening their belts on everything from seed to fertilizer to equipment this year as they work to weather the drop in commodity prices. Pro Farmers First Thing Today reports this places heightened attention on Monsanto's quarterly earnings report. That's due out today, with analysts expecting the company to report an 8.5% drop in revenue. Monsanto execs had said that the company's seeds discounts and those of its rivals have been the steepest in years. Seed dealers have noted that farmers are passing on new varieties to save money. Nathan Kaiser, seed manager at South Dakota Wheat Growers, says farmers have been moving away from seed stacked with multiple biotech traits and instead buying varieties that have been on the market 3 to 5 years. Well, the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, has announced the final transportation rule under the Food Safety Modernization Act. While not yet published in the Federal Register, the rule will go into effect 60 days after publication. The rule establishes requirements for shippers, loaders, carriers, and receivers involved in transporting human and animal food to use sanitary practices to ensure food safety. The requirements do not apply to transportation by ship or air because of limitations in the law. The earliest compliance date for some companies begin 1 year after final publication of the rule in the register. A court order required the FDA to finish the rule by the end of March. While the rule has yet to be published, it appears the FDA complied with the court order. In this news, too, two billboards violated federal rules because the EPA funds the group to put up the signs in Washington, D.C. The advertisements accused farmers of polluting water. The Capital Press reports a coalition of environmental groups put up the billboards to promote What's Upstream, a media campaign crafted by a public relations firm to link agriculture with water pollution. The groups used an EPA grant to fund the billboards, but did not credit the agency's financial support, a requirement, of course, to receive EPA grants. The Capital Press inquired to the EPA regarding the billboards last week. An official with the federal agency replied, saying the billboards look like a violation, adding the EPA believes the groups will bring the signs into compliance. The billboards claimed unregulated agriculture is putting our waterways at risk. Senate Agriculture Chairman Pat Roberts of Kansas released a statement on the matter saying the billboard is another example of EPA's improper practice of encouraging the lobbying of legislators. Roberts accused the EPA of having an agenda hostile to agriculture. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Now, you know, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is trying again to end farm payments to non-farmers. He's done that a considerable number of times over the years. The Republican is introducing the ban that he says should have been in place in the 2014 Farm Bill. Grassley admits his chances are slim to pass his failed Farm Bill provision that would have limited farm payments to just those actively engaged in farming. A Farm Bill loophole exempted non-farming family members from rules USDA put in place in December.
Unfortunately, there are still people who have little or nothing to do with farming who are still receiving payments.
Now, Grassley says that hurts public support for real farmers, and he insists he was snookered out of his measure that was originally included in both the House and the Senate Farm Bills, but removed.
3 out of 4 people who were conferencing this bill were Southern agriculture, and I think you know Southern agriculture doesn't like this provision. So that's what happened, and it shouldn't happen. But you know me, I'm not going to give up this fight.
Faced with the question of how he can win when he could not in a farm bill negotiation, well, Grassley has this to say.
Unless there's a budget item and a real push to save money, I don't think we'll get an opportunity to bring this up. But let me tell you, if I get an opportunity, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Senator Grassley defends his earlier claim that the Farm Bill should not be reopened, saying the ideological purity of that claim was violated last fall when Congress passed and later rescinded a $3 billion cut to crop insurance. Let's take a look now at the cash grain market. Stephen Lineber is here. He's with the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. You getting rain there this afternoon, Stephen?
Yeah, a little bit of showers.
Tell me about the cash grain movement in the area. We've gotten the showers. Farmers probably were busy at least, I would think, a couple of days there getting equipment ready to go for the planting season.
Right, and probably seen a little less corn movement, a little more bean movement here as of late as the market cash price has shifted since the 31st of March report, so we're watching that, you know, bean opportunity continue to rise there with cash price holding steady, corn a little slower, but at the same time we're still seeing cash sales being made and movement being sold against, you know, cash contracts to where guys need something to do today when we can't get in the field.
Are they doing just old crop or are they doing new crop too?
Majority old crop right now. Very, very, anything new crop-wise, probably a majority is being entertained at the new bean level.
Are they interested in talking at all about switching some acres in the mix to beans for the coming year?
Very little talk of that right now. I think through this draw territory, intentions to plant corn, and I don't think that's going to change unless we see a major distribution between that corn and bean ratio today.
Crude oil at $37 to $40 a barrel make the ethanol plant operate a little more efficiently on the economic side?
Definitely. Definitely like to see a little stronger trade there, and I think moving forward, expecting a little more usage on the unleaded fuel side of things as we get into the summer, high travel months. You know, sure feels like we can start to continue at least to maintain ethanol demand today. If anything, increase a little, maybe take a little pressure off of prices here today.
When is your normal downtime there, and is that expected to be the case this year?
Downtime was about 3 weeks ago, so which has been right on schedule. So we're already through that and back to full speed.
All right. And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, $3.78. Cash beans, right around $9.
Hey, Stephen, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Stephen Lenneber is with the Andersons Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana. They have an ethanol production facility there. We talk to them once a week on Wednesday afternoons. Of course, we check in with the Andersons here in Champaign County on Mondays and in northwestern Iowa at their Everly, Iowa facility, and that's a grain elevator, on Friday afternoon. So be sure to check in with us each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to see what the cash grain situation is like across the whole, or at least a good portion of the Corn Belt. Don't forget to visit our website, too. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, you can find all kinds of information, including all of the day's numbers and what's been happening in Chicago from the morning in the opening market report to the closing market report. Commodity Week is put there. Not long after it is recorded on Thursday afternoon, that happens at 3 o'clock. By about 5 o'clock most Thursdays, we managed to put that up so that you can listen to it. And that would be the case before it ever airs on any radio station. We like to service you well, so if you are interested in changing something that you hear, please do give me a call or contact me. My number is 217-333-9697. Our email address is tgleason, that's T-G-L-E-A-S-O-N, at illinois.edu. In a couple minutes, I'll come back. We'll talk about the weather forecast. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will be here. He's one of five meteorologists that we have on the air. That comes up during the closing market report at 2:32 on every business day of the year. Again, the weather forecast coming up in just about 2 minutes and 20 seconds here on Illinois Public Media. This day in ag history is up for a few of you right here on our radio stations.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Caramel Popcorn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Massachusetts created the first inspector of milk position in the U.S. It was not long before a report showed that milk sold in Boston restaurants was often diluted with as much as 40% water, and chemicals were added to make the diluted milk appear white. The diluted milk sold for as much as 5 cents a glass when fair market value for good milk was 8 cents a quart. In 1930, Twinkies went on sale for the first time with a banana cream filling. But in World War II, there was a banana shortage, and vanilla cream became the standard filling. By the way, early Twinkies had to be eaten almost immediately. The eggs, milk, and butter gave the Twinkie a shelf life of just 2 days. In 1932, C. Glenn King at the University of Pittsburgh isolated vitamin C from lemon juice. In 1938, Roy J. Plunkett accidentally discovered Teflon. And in 1954, TV dinners were introduced to the public. C.A. Swanson and Sons introduced the first TV dinner, roast turkey with stuffing and gravy, sweet potatoes and peas. It sold for 98 cents and came in an aluminum tray ready to pop into the oven. Supposedly, executive director Gerald Thomas came up with the idea when the company had tons of leftover turkey from Thanksgiving. The idea for the aluminum trays came from the trays used for airline food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Rainy here in Urbana-Champaign. Kind of cool as well. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's not start in the wet areas, Drew, but somewhere that needs a little rainfall. The panhandle of Oklahoma, parts of Kansas where the hard red winter wheat got off to a really fast start because of the warm weather. But it has lacked some moisture. What can you tell me?
Well, it is definitely dry out there. We do need to come up with some moisture. The pattern is changing right now, and that's good news. Once we get this cold weather out of the Midwest, there will be some ridge building that takes place in the middle of the country for a few days as we go into next week, and that will set up the stage for a storm to come into the southwestern part of the country and hopefully bring some rain into those dry areas of hard red winter wheat country. So it's kind of a process. But it looks like our first opportunity for rain will show up as we go from Sunday into Monday. Right now it looks fairly good that probably 70% of Kansas might get a little bit of rain. The eastern areas will be a lot wetter than the west. And we'll also see western Oklahoma picking up on a few thunderstorms as well. So I think there's going to be a little bit of relief. It's not going to be widespread, and there's still going to be a need for additional moisture. The good news is that as we continue to evolve in this pattern, there will be other opportunities for rain evolving as we get out towards the end of next week and into the following weekend. So I think there's potential here that we'll see some additional rain. Big soakings, I'm not quite sure we'll get that far, but we'll get some relief and the crops will respond very well.
Geographically, this isn't very far from a part of the world, I don't know, 500 to 700 miles in the Delta region that has had more than its fair share of rainfall for the start of the growing season. What's the differentiation between the two?
Well, certainly the situation in the Delta is just incredibly wet. It has been. We are seeing it dry down a little bit, and the forecast with all the changes I just mentioned for the plains will actually start favoring some drier bias conditions in the Delta, and that will hopefully get us back into some of these fields. It has been a crazy spring season down there, and fieldwork is definitely behind. There's already some changes in planting intentions to crops other than corn, so we definitely need to get some dry weather going. Now, there will be one storm system that will occur in that region on Monday. You'll probably see some locally heavy rainfall, and then after that, we'll probably have an opportunity to dry down a little bit more. So perhaps we'll see some improvement in that area.
Moving northward now up the Mississippi River Valley, what do you see for the heart of the Corn Belt?
Well, it looks like if we can get rid of the cold, we might have an opportunity to get out there and work some of these fields. It's just going to be crazy cold here for the next few days. Well, it'll actually be a little bit warmer, I guess, tomorrow and Friday, but turn right around and get very cold over the weekend. When we come out of the cold, we'll have an opportunity for some rain to occur during the early part of next week, and that will temporarily moisten up the soil, obviously, and we'll see some more delay in early season farming activity. But once we are done with that rain event, there should be a ridge of high pressure that will build into the middle of the country. That should dry out a fair amount of the Midwest for the latter half of next week into the following weekend, at least for a little while. We might get a few days of aggressive field work in there if we can just avoid the heavier rains early in the week.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.